Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil, that's a tongue tire for me. That one, yeah, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things say the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Ooh, hallelujah. And we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against your soul." One more set in the scriptures, and I'll let you be seated. That's in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. This thing keeps coming up on here. And we're going to start at verse 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye ought. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Uh-oh, I lost my place here. Thank you. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Let's pray. God, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you, God, for this privilege and this opportunity tonight to go into your word. We pray, Lord, that you will put the words in my mouth tonight, God. You see who exactly is in this building tonight. You know exactly what needs to be said. We pray, God, and we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, God. Lead me, I pray, guide me, Lord. By your Spirit, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Oh, can we clap our hands unto the Lord and give him some praise tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to God. We love you, Jesus. We magnify you, Lord. We praise you tonight, God, in Jesus' name. You may be seated tonight. I want to use for a title tonight, and it's to deal with one enemy that we have that we have to deal with it every day. You can't get around it. You got to deal with it. And you got to put it in its proper place. But the enemy that I'm talking about is the flesh. You know, we just read in our ears the different things that the flesh produces. My title tonight is "The Flesh Is Not Your Friend." The flesh is not your friend. You see, God has called us to do a work for him. And God expects us to walk in the Spirit. It's the lust of the flesh that's when we get in trouble with God. God does not desire for us to do those things that's not pleasing to him. But see, we have to realize, like the Apostle Paul did, Paul realized that there was a war going on, even though he was trying to live for God. And what we have to do is realize that there's a war going on within us, within ourselves, and we have to know how to rightly divide the spiritual from the natural. We have to know how to rightly divide right from wrong within the Word of God. We have to walk the way the Bible says that we're to walk. We have to talk like the Bible says that we are to talk. We have to live like the Bible said that we are to live. We got to mortify the deeds of the flesh. We got to put the flesh to sleep, friend of mine. Oh, child of the mind. You cannot live for God and live for the devil. You can't straddle the fence and live it for God. You got to get in there and give God 100%. Because if you hold it on to 1%, your flesh is taking advantage of you. You got to put that flesh to sleep. You got to walk in the Spirit. You got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. You got to know that God is with you. You got to know that God has called you. You got to know that God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. The flesh is not your friend. Hallelujah to God. It's an enemy that'll take you down. It's an enemy that'll, oh, you friend of mine, don't kid yourself. That old man that God delivered you from, that old man that you used to be, don't kid yourself. It's still there. It's right there with you every day when you go to bed. It's right there with you when you wake up in the morning. That's why it's so important that you give attention to spiritual things. It's a battle. It's a struggle. That it is to live for God. Somebody said, but it's hard to live for God. Yeah, if you're in the flesh. Try coming over in the spirit world. Try getting on that side of the of living for God. Allowing God to talk to you and speak to you through his word. And you take him at his word. And he comes through you for his word. Oh, friend of mine. Don't be deceived by this old flesh. We pamper this thing. If anybody say anything wrong to it, we get upset. David was a man after God's own heart. Isn't that amazing that God, David committed a sin way long time ago and it's still being talked about today. But when David took Bathsheba to be his wife, David knew that he was doing the wrong thing. But whether than David, he wasn't in the spirit. Trust me. He was acting out in the flesh. He saw something that he wanted and he went after it. And you know, that's what lust is. You know, too many times we relate lust to sex, but that's not the case at all. Lust is something that will draw your attention away from God and cause you to do things that you ought to not do. Friend of mine, it doesn't have to be in that way. It can be a video game. It can be card game. It can be any other thing. Oh, I want to slip this one in too. If you're married and you pay more attention to video games and your cell phone, shame on you not giving your attention to your spouse. You need to give that attention to your spouse. No wonder you need to set an appointment with the pastor, because you're not doing what you ought to be doing. You are walking in the flesh and fulfilling the flesh and not fulfilling the spirit. We living in a day that video games and cell phones are rampant. Everybody's got one. You got to be careful with those things. There's nothing wrong with them. You can use them to your advantage. But if it's becoming in between your marriage, if it's becoming between you and your relationship with God, you need to turn that thing off. You need to set it aside, because you still got to deal with the flesh. And the flesh do not want you to live for God. The Bible says it like this. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, friend of mine, don't you feel sorry for the flesh? Don't you feel sorry for not being able to do certain things? You ought to worship and praise God and thank God that you don't do certain things. It's because he lives, I can face tomorrow. It's because he lives, I can drive down the street with my head up. It's because that he lives that I can come back to the house of God a time again and again. Because I know that my creator is alive. I know that my creator is real. I know that God will help me to walk this walk. Oh, if I just cry out to him. Too many times I've seen people, they come to church and they try to live for God, but they're holding on to stuff. Stuff that when, if they don't give it up for God, when they go to hell, it ain't gonna be there anyhow. But yeah, they'd rather hold on to it. You know why? Because they're satisfying the flesh. That's why, because they're holding on to it to satisfy this old fleshly nature. The flesh
It's not your friend of mine's. Whatever the Lord would ask you to give up, he will replace it with something better. That's the way our God is. If you have to give something up for God, he's going to replace it with something better. Oh, friend of mine's, he'll replace it with something better. And you're going to be saying, thank you, Jesus.
Oh, I just feel it all over me. The devil is a liar. This flesh is a liar. You can't give in to the lust of this old flesh. Because the Bible lets us to know that one of these days it's going to pass away. Let's get back to the word mortify. It's in the Bible. It means to subdue. It means to subdue the body or its needs and desires by self-denial or discipline. To put to death. Mortify. It doesn't mean you go commit suicide, no. Because if you commit suicide, you go straight to hell. No, you don't stop past nowhere. You just go straight there. Jesus said it like this. If any man follow after me, let him take up his cross. You know what that cross is a place of? That cross is a place of dying out. That cross is a place of self-denial. That cross is a place of saying, nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. See, too many times we give into our will. We hold on to what we want to do rather than what God would have us to do. You see, the flesh will play games with you. You see, friend of mine, the flesh is not your friend. It will destroy you if you keep giving into the lust of it. It will lead you the wrong way if you keep giving into the desires of it. Your flesh will destroy you if you allow it to. You got to walk in the spirit, oh friend of mine, just like we just read. You got to walk in the spirit. Oh, you got to live in the spirit. It's not impossible when you let God have 100% of you. Oh, you just got to give all to God and allow him to do the work in your life and in your walk with you. Because you see, when you walk in the spirit, you don't need that. When you love God and God is your focus, you can overcome the spirit. You see, when you get the Holy Ghost, it lays down the fleshly man for a minute. But the more you drift away from giving the spiritual man any attention, the more the fleshly man or the carnal man begins to sprout out. It begins to come back. Because you're not feeding the spiritual man. You gotta feed the spiritual man. Oh, hallelujah. Because see, when you feed the spiritual man, you can overcome anything that you need to overcome. Devil, what devil? Problem, what problem? Trouble, what trouble? But you got to feed the spiritual man. You not get your eyes on the natural things. I understand that we have to take care. We have to eat, because if we don't eat, we die. That's true. But if you don't feed spiritual man, he dies too. Ooh, somebody said, thank you, Jesus. See, this is what Paul said about that. I want to read what Paul said. Paul said it like this. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual. He says, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, then it is no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. See, Paul understood the struggle. And he was trying to explain it here for a minute. He says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, the Apostle Paul wasn't saying that I'm practicing sin in my life. What he was saying was, I recognize the war that's within me. I have identified what's happening inside of me. But he said, but with my mind, I'm going to serve God. And friend of mine, the saint of God, that's where the battle is. The battle is in the mind. If the devil can penetrate your mind and get you to think negative about your walk with God, if he can get you to thinking crazy about your walk with God, oh, friend of mine, he can convince you to do something according to your flesh. That's why we have to be careful. If we got a question about our walk, if we got a question about a situation, we need to go to the book and look it up in the book and see what the book says. We can't go by what's being dictated to us because we make the wrong choice. And cause us some heartache and some grief and some sinfulness. But if we would go to the book and to see what the book says and understand what God has to say about it, what will Jesus do? Somebody said, well, we just go to the book for the answer. Oh, friend of mine, then that spiritual man will begin to sprout out and spring up. It'll help you to live for God the way that you're supposed to live for God. Oh, somebody clap their hands unto the Lord and give him some praise. Another definition of the word mortify. It says the body. Oh, I said that one, didn't I? Oh, no. I had several definitions to that word. Wait, let's go back to, I'm sorry. Let's back up to the flesh. The Greek word for flesh is sox, S-A-R-X, if that's how you pronounce it. It refers to the physical body, denotes mere human nature, the early nature of man apart from divine influence. And therefore is prone to sin and oppose God. Desire that run contrary to God. That's what the word flesh means. That's why it's so important that we get in the spirit. I need some help tonight. I'm going to ask Brother DeRossi to help me read those two settings of scriptures that I have given you. Check this out. I may interrupt you in between, but we'll get through the whole thing. And, yes. 6 and 12. He said, don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your bodies as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Ooh. But yield yourself unto God. Woo! Yield yourself to God. You want to overcome the flesh? You want to be victorious in your walk with God? You yield yourself to God and nothing else. And you give yourself to God and nothing else, friend of mine. Oh, friend of mine, it's not a struggle to live for God when your mind is made up. No matter what, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to yield to God and nothing else. I'm not going to let nothing stop me. If the devil throws an obstacle in my way, I'm going to jump over that obstacle. But I'm going to yield myself to God. Was that it? As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness for sin. Now, see, when you yield yourself to righteousness, the scripture says, sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but you're under grace. Ooh, hallelujah. You know, if you were under the law, you would have the priest offer up sacrifices for your sins. But because we're under grace, oh, the Bible says that the tent was rent when Jesus died on the cross. That opened up the door for all of us to get in the very presence of God. Oh, friend of mine, you don't have to confess to the priest. All you got to do to confess is to Jesus Christ. Woo. He made it easier for you. Go ahead, bro. Oh, ha, ha. What then? Shall we sin? Because we're not under law, but we're under grace. So it's okay to sin because we're under grace now? God forbid. Just know ye not I'm just going to paraphrase it because that was a lot. Who you lend your members to, that who you are the servant of. And if you yield it to the flesh, you're serving the flesh, you're not pleasing God. I got scripture to back that up too. Go ahead, that it? Well, so it's whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. So is it either going to be righteousness and obedience or sin, which is by death?
Yes.
For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So who are you lending your members to? I don't need to know. God already knows. You might fool me. You might fool Brother DeRosick. You might even fool the pastor. But you ain't going to ever fool God. The scripture says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And to break that one down, it says, if you try to make a fool out of God, he'll turn around and make a fool out of you. So the flesh is not your friend. But he says, the flesh is not your friend. I want to go back to Galatians. You don't have to turn to it. But the last verse, the 21st verse, I'm just going to get part of it, not the whole thing. He says, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's already written. If you're committing adultery, fornication, all of those things that the flesh produces, he said that you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But I thought God was a God of love. He is. But his word is already written. He's not going to go back and erase it to make it right so you can get away with what you want to get away with. We all got to travel down the same road. We all got to have the same commitment. We all got to live for God according to the Bible. He's already written. His word is not going to return unto him void. He's already put it out there. He's not going to go back and change it and say, oh, you know what? We don't need this. Let's rip it out. It's settled. And so we have to recognize the fact that the flesh is not our friend. But there's the flip side to that. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But look what he said about those things. He said, against such there is no law. And he says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You know, sometimes when I'm working in a secular place, some of the guys I work with, they'll come up to me and, oh, I got a joke for you. I got a joke for you. Yeah, let me tell you, I got a joke. First thing out of my mouth, I don't care if I hurt the feelings. Is it a clean one? Well, kind of not really. I don't want to hear it then. I don't have to subject myself to their filthy mouth. I don't care if they are my boss. I don't have to give in to that. No, I don't. No. We are a child of the King. We are a child, God's people. We don't have to stoop down to the devil for anything. We don't have to let the devil talk to us any kind of way that he wants to. No, we got to put a stop to that and realize that the flesh is not our friend. And you can stand up for righteousness no matter where you are, no matter where you go. You can stand up for righteousness and live, be pleasing to God. Oh, friend of mine, don't let the devil trick you into giving in to your flesh. Not done. I'm going to tell the story. Sister Panero. I don't know how nobody else to use but me. I just kind of relate things that happen in my life, then I just tell it. And I don't think twice about it. If I can help somebody with it, fine. And if you can laugh with me, that's fine. But, oh, well, just don't use it against me if you get bad at me. One day, Brother Rossick, I was at the bank. And I was taking some money there, actually, because I don't like to carry cash because I tend to think I can just spend it. And then it's never going to run out. And so I was having myself a good time that day. I walked in the bank and I was standing in line and there was other people in there. It was coming close to being my turn. And so when I began to walk up to the window, I started speaking out and I got a loud, boisterous voice. Everybody can hear me all over the block. And I tried to project a happy attitude. And so I walked into the bank and I began to walk up to the teller. I said, yeah, I got to get this money out of my pocket and put it in the bank before I spend it all. And stood this one lady over there. She heard what I said. She said, you don't want to spend it on me? I was like, I looked at her. At first, I thought she was just joking. And so I looked at her and said, nah, you have your husband run out here trying to kill me, shoot me. No. And so, and then I started talking to the tailor, then she kind of had to make it a point to me, I'm not married. How would I get out of this one? So I stood there, and now the teller is watching all of this unfold, right? She's sitting there with her mouth dropped wide open because me and her both are like shocked that this lady is trying to, you know, pick me up. And so I stood there. I froze. Because it spooked me a little. I'm like, oh my goodness, she's serious. I looked at the tailor and I'm like, I'm looking for help is what I'm doing. Come on, help me with this. She not saying nothing because she's surprised as much as I am. And then the lady, she was walking out of the door of the bank. I turned. I said, nah, I just got through with one. I don't want another one. And kept doing what I was doing. Oh, friend of mine, you got to put that devil in his place sometime. He don't care nothing about you. He'll send whatever your way that'll come. If it'll cause you to trip up, if it'll cause you to fall, he'll send it your way. He'll try to stroke your ego. He'll try to stroke your not getting what you get at home. Oh, friend of mine, you got to be aware of the devices of the devil. The flesh is not your friend. And she was driving a Porsche, too. I wanted nothing to do with that. I got my standards way up here, and I'm going to keep them up there. If they ain't living for God, get away from me the right way. I'm going to stop there because I'm going to get in trouble if I keep going. But you got to know the devices of the devil. That time I walked into Walmart and that $20 bill was sitting on the counter. That was a temptation for me. I needed that 20. It was just laying there. Nobody around or nothing. A $20 bill laying on the counter. I look around. Nobody was there. Now, the flesh said, pick it up. Put it in your pocket. Nobody's here. It's yours. You lost. It's lost. You found. But the spirit man said, just get the lady in the back and let her know that somebody left it and then just leave it at that. So you know what I did? I chose what the spirit man said to do. I got the lady's attention in the back and said, hey, somebody left that right there. She said, oh, where's that lady? Oh, she's gone. She grabbed the 20. I don't know what she did with it, but I know I didn't want no curse on me from it. You see, that's what I'm saying. That's how the devil does. He'll try to set you up for something. You know, oh, Joe Cool will come by and make you think, feel something that you're not getting from your husband and make you feel like you're the coolest girl he ever met and you're the most important thing. Hogwash. That's just a trick of the devil. Remember, he wants to split your home. He's not your friend. This flesh is not your friend. She comes by. Oh, you're so handsome. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. That's what should happen. Oh, did you hear that? She said, I was handsome. Woo. That's what the carnal man would say. Friend of mine, you got to guard yourself. You got to protect your walk with God. You got to know what's coming your way. See, I don't mind telling on myself because I didn't give in. And then some of those, I outlined some of those things that the Bible mentioned over in Galatians chapter 5. I didn't do them all. I only did a few. But it says, inordinate affection. It's just something that means over the top. An affection or love that you might have for anything or a person that we give first place to it before God. That's what it means. Lust that is not lawful is what it means. That inordinate affection. Having, you know, well, I don't want to bring that up either. Ah, come on now. This thing's acting up on me. Come on, scroll down. There we go. Evil, that word, it means sexual desires, lust, passion of lust. It denotes evil desires. That comes out from the flesh. Uncleanness, not clean, dirty, morally impure, evil, vile. The scripture says, watch and pray. I'm getting sick of this iPad. I want to throw it in the trash. Anyhow, it's frozen up on me again. Right in the middle of when I'm not done. So we'll just be patient with that. Let me keep working on it. Be patient with me. There we go. It's froze. Ah, glory. And then also, you know what I need to do? I just need to start writing it out. This thing makes me so... And it only did it because... Let's pray, church. Here we go. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for wheresoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. It says, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. David said this. He said, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He says, but it is good for me to draw near to God that I might declare all thy works. He says, oh God, thou art my God. He says, early will I seek thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. He said, to see the power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. This thing is keep freezing up. I done gave up on it. But I do have another setting of scriptures I'm going to turn to. And it's very familiar with us. Here it is. It reads as such. He says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. He says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Why? He said that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's where the key is. It's walking after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It says, because The carnal mind is enmity against God, or the fleshly mind. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The flesh is not your friend. We got to pursue the Spirit. We got to go after Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. I'm going to just invite the musicians to come. I'm not done, but my iPad is jacked up, so I'm going to stop. Messed up. But I do have some more scriptures as they come in. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. He says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, he said, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raises up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwell in you. And he says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. We owe a debt, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. He says, for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. He says, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we be, if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so, that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. You see, it's a matter of pursuing the Spirit. As we pursue the Spirit, we overcome the lust of the flesh. But if we seek to satisfy this flesh, we kill the spiritual man. You see, friend, the flesh is not your friend. But it's an enemy that need to be contained, because the Bible says that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Too many times we blame things, and I'm not taking up for the devil. Don't get me wrong. We blame things on the devil that happens in our life. But sometimes those things that happen are the result of our flesh, because we're not where we should be in our walk with God. So we have to rightly divide this thing and put it in its right perspective. Because if you don't, you'll drive yourself crazy thinking that the devil is always fighting me. He's going to fight you. That's true. Because he don't want you to live for God either. That's just another one of the enemies. He don't want you to live for God. But you have to know that your own flesh that houses our soul and our spirit fights us in our living for God. That's why we have to pursue the Spirit with everything within us. We don't hold anything back. We make no excuses. We run forth headlong for Jesus. Because he's going to be right there with outstretched arms, waiting on us. Waiting on you to come so he can wrap his arms around you and let you know that everything is going to be all right. You made the right choice to pursue the Spirit. So he's not going to leave you hanging on by yourself. But if you pursue what the flesh would have you to do, then you're going to be disappointed. Shall we stand tonight? The flesh is not your friend. So let's overcome the flesh. Let's give it all to Jesus. For the songwriter said, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. You know, before I came to God, on my way to coming to God, I knew that there was a better life in this world, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And the Lord suggested to me, why don't you start going back to church? And I began to question myself. I said, now, why don't I go to church? I couldn't come up with a reason why I didn't. So in my pursuit of the Spirit, I began to go back to church. And in the process of me going back to church, God led me and he guided me to where he desired for me to be. So if he would do that for me, he'll do it for you. But you got to pursue the Spirit. You want a victory? You want the victory in your walk with God? Do you really want the victory in your walk with God? I want to challenge you tonight to pursue the Spirit. Lay that flesh down at the altar. And say, flesh, you're going to live for God. I'm going to do what's right. It doesn't mean that you're not going to stump your toe every once in a while. Just put a band-aid on it, put your shoe on it, and keep coming to the house of God. I can keep going, but I'm gonna bring it to a close. The altar's open.
I surrender.
Anybody wanna pray? Church is all about surrendering. It's all about giving all to Jesus. Surrender all to him.